Hey, this is Mikey with Seventh Time Down, and you're listening to Do Not Keep Silent with Jason DeZurich.
Welcome to Do Not Keep Silent.
Speaking out the name of Jesus in action and word.
Encouraging and equipping.
Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves.
Do what it says. Do not keep silent.
Our guest today serves as a managing principal and officer investment officer. After a highly successful career with Smith Barney and later Thrivent Financial, where he was one of the company's top producing advisors. In addition, he has a long history of success in the areas of business development, marketing, and consulting. There's so much with this. He's also with a business called Arbitral Financial Strategies, and you can find out information about what's going on there, and we'll give that later. But let's just go right into it. Philip Ciampa, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, thank you.
Yeah, we're so glad to have you with us. And, you know, with the way the economy is going, maybe it's an uptick, but I don't know. But, you know, Philip, if you could, before we get into it, could you just share a little bit about yourself? How did you get involved in this kind of work?
Well, it's actually a little bit of a sordid tale, as they say. I was a Catholic priest for about 18 and a half years. And after that time, decided that although I enjoyed ministry, it just was not a path that I felt I was being called to continue.
Okay.
So I did leave and immediately found a position with a bank, learning the trust and investment business. And from there, it just grew. And about this time last year, we decided to open up our own firm, Arbitral Financial Strategies.
That is awesome. And, you know, I think one thing people forget is finances, that's spiritual as well, isn't it?
It is, because you're dealing with the very core of people's existence. Obviously, their spiritual being and their personhood is of utmost importance, but, you know, we're also called to be able to live on temporal needs, and in doing so, we need to be good stewards of our time, talent, and treasure. So what I hope to bring to the table when I meet with people and I work with them is the ability to help them understand that treasure is not a bad thing. It's how we use it that determines good or bad.
All right, great. Now, if you could, for our listeners, can you go into that? And I know this is going to be a huge question, but I'm just going to have you narrow it down for us. Can you help us understand that concept of what you're talking about?
Well, in reality, you know, people like to hoard money, especially in a bad economy. And we're seeing that right now. We're seeing where people just hold on to every dime that they have. They don't want to share it. I mean, charity giving is down. Giving to churches is down. Any kind of philanthropic ability on people's part to give and to share their wealth seems to have been reduced only because people are afraid. The economy has been very unstable. So when, you know, I believe that we're called to give of our treasure, it means, yes, you take care of your own needs, but that which is in excess, that which is really not needed, you should really be giving away. And excess is determined differently by different people. But when you really strip it down, the question is, what do you really need to live on? What is it that you really need for today and for tomorrow? How do you plan your future? Do you really need all of the kind of money that you're holding in your hand? Or are you able to, you know, let some of it go for the betterment of other people or other organizations and churches? So the stewardship of your treasure is something that really I take into account when I'm working with clients as to how they are using that excess money.
Okay. Now, for somebody listening, I mean, how do they determine that? Is there something on your website they can go look at, or what's the best way to deal with that?
But how you determine that really is by a budget. You know, we all need to live by a budget. I would bet you very few of our listeners really live by a budget, because it's not something that's, you know, we're accustomed to. As Americans, we just keep living without planning. But you really need to get a budget together, figure out what it is that you need, obviously count in the inflation that's going to occur, and then you really see what it is that you absolutely need. And you'd be surprised at how little you can live on. You'd be surprised at really how little you need in order to survive once your absolute necessary bills are paid. And then, you know, leave a little bit for yourself to enjoy life, obviously. The Lord never said you can't have any fun. But, you know, then determine how much of it is you can give away. And whether it be that widow's mite of $1 or $2, or whether it be much more because of your ability to pay, that's what's important to remember, is that you give. The amount's not as important as the fact that you are giving.
Okay, now, when people hear that word budget, they usually think, okay, that's the amount of money I spend. Can you help them understand? I mean, it's more than just that. Isn't it like figuring out before you spend what you can spend? Help people understand that and to stick by it.
Well, there's what we call inflows and outflows. Inflows is what your salary or whatever kind of income is that you receive, even if you're on unemployment. And then outflows are the bills that you need to pay. So typically people have rent, they have mortgage, they have lights, they have cable TV perhaps, whatever they feel is necessary in their lives. So what you have to do is first look at what you're taking in and then look at what you're putting out. And, of course, what you're putting out you always want to make sure is less than what you're bringing in. If it's vice versa, then you have a real problem, and then we need to cut back on what it is that you're putting out and make those life adjustments. But as long as you have enough that you're bringing in, then, you know, you are in good shape. And that's all a budget is. It's very simple. You know, you can read a book and see all these intricate calculations, but basically sit down, figure out what you bring in, and subtract what you put out, and that'll tell you what you have for discretionary expenses or any kind of spending, saving, or charitable giving that you wish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, my family and I, we have 6 kids, by the way, my wife and I, and in 2007, we had a huge life change happen financially. And, you know, as you said earlier in the interview, it is very interesting how little you can really live on once you really, if you will, put your nose to the grindstone and say, okay, what are needs exactly in life? And so I just appreciate you telling that.
Yeah, I'm going through that now. I did very well until I started my own company. But, you know, as well as many of our listeners, that when you start your own company, your excess dollars or any kind of income goes back into the company. So, you know, my wife and I have learned to really determine what it is that we need and what it is that you can live without and still maintain a happy and healthy lifestyle. It's amazing, the excess. And I think this is an American situation, the excess with which we live, and we don't realize it until, like yourself or myself or others, we go through something that really teaches us what's the value and what you can live without.
Where can people find out information about what you're doing there?
Well, probably the best place is to go to my personal website, which is philchioppa.com. That's philchioppa.com. And they can learn a little bit more about who I am. And there's a link there to our company website as well.
Okay, that sounds great.
I do have an ongoing blog, so people can also read that, too.
Okay, and is that on your website as well?
That's on my website.
Okay, great, great. And, you know, I guess one question I have is, when you either travel the country or when you're talking to clients and such, what is one of the biggest issues people are dealing with today?
Am I going to have enough money for retirement? That's probably the biggest overriding issue. Am I going to be able to live in my later years as I'm living now? And I think it's a really good question, considering the Social Security problem that the federal government's having, the fact that the federal debt is now bigger than our overall economy, and the fact that many people lost so much of their investments in 2008 when the market went south. So, you know, I always advise people to be very conservative, to make sure that they divvy up their money into different kinds of pots. Don't just leave all your money in one place, and be smart about what you're doing. Don't take risk.
Okay. Now, when you say don't take risk, you know, I actually hear a lot of people say you should invest in, like, precious metals or commodities. What do you think of that?
I think part of your money can certainly go into precious metals, but again, you have to look at what we call risk tolerance. Everybody has a different risk tolerance. Some people are able to take a great amount of risk. Those are usually younger people with perhaps strong incomes or strong savings behind them. Mm-hmm. And then when you get into my age, going on 55, you find you're not as aggressive as far as your risk as you used to be.
Okay.
So you might be lessening a bit. You know, commodities and precious metals are certainly fine for people who can tolerate that. You know, I have my own radio talk show as well, and I just spoke with a woman who does a lot with silver and gold, and she was very convincing because you can get a good return, especially on silver, which, you know, seems to be a little bit more steady, but I'm not a commodities broker, so I'm not an expert on it. But, you know, I at present don't have anybody who's in commodities because, again, they're fluctuating. I mean, you get into things like oil, and my goodness, I don't know how you would know where you are from one day to the next.
I have to agree with that. It's very fluctuating. But it's a, you know, as you said, it's the risk is huge, but the return could be huge as well in something like that. You know,
exactly.
You know,
we got to weigh it out.
Yeah, absolutely. Philip, if you could, we have a lot of younger listeners, teens, 20-somethings. We also have parents, obviously, that listen to the show who have children. And what would you advise someone who's younger, who's going, you know, I'm kind of just getting started on this?
Well, the very first thing you need to do if you're serious about accumulating wealth or making sure that you have the assets necessary is to protect any kind of risk problem that could occur. So if somebody is employed, and whether they're 21, 22, just coming out of college, you know, I always encourage them to look at what their company's offering, but to make sure that they have life insurance and disability insurance. I think disability insurance for someone who is healthy is extremely important because if something goes wrong with your life, you need to make sure there's still income. So once you've really protected your risk, then you look at if there's a retirement plan at work, you know, always make sure you pay yourself. So give what you can into your retirement, and if possible, also start a traditional or a Roth IRA, depending upon the kind of money that you have. And then also, you know, if there is money left, you should always have emergency savings. We always say it's good to have 6 to 9 months of what your disposable income is each month. So I know that that sounds like a lot, but A, protect yourself, and then B, save what you can in the appropriate places you need to save. But do it little by little. You know, I have people who are 21, 22, just starting out, and I just say to them at the moment, just make sure you're protected. Let's get your insurances in place, and then just put some money in the bank for now. You know, do a little bit of your 401k at work, but we'll worry about the rest as your income grows, your life changes, and your needs are there. So it's step by step. It's not something that's written in stone. And again, it's not a vanilla answer for people. You got to look at everybody's particular situation. I have clients who are coming out of college making $40,000. I have clients coming out of college making $200,000. You know, and I'm trying to figure out, geez, where did I go wrong?
Yeah, me too.
Find us online at worldviewwarriors.org.